Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, June 25th, 2014. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. And how are you, John?
I'm good. It's a beautiful blue sky morning, but that means tornadoes in the afternoon.
Well, we are in Colorado. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Which sometimes feels a lot like Kansas. Tornado
wise. It does. Lately, anyway.
The barbecue in Kansas, or at least Kansas City, is far superior, just so you know. Yeah. Also, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well. I have no such tornado warning today, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yes, but where you are, I bet you can get good barbecue.
Decent barbecue, yes. I don't know that it's Kansas City level, but yeah.
It's hard to beat Kansas City level. And very to all of our Austin and New Orleans listeners, yes, you guys have amazing barbecue also.
Indeed.
And I just realized I could turn that into an awesome yet lame segue into the first thing I wanted to talk about today. Hey, guess what? Arrow just got barbecued by the Supreme Court.
Poor Arrow.
Yeah. Here's what happened. Arrow, for those of you that don't know who they are, this is a company that launched a service where you could subscribe to online and then watch over-the-air television.
With your own antenna.
Live.
Yeah. So they have like this warehouse somewhere. And in this warehouse, they have a little antenna for every single person that's a subscriber. So what you're doing is renting an antenna. And then the whatever the antenna is picking up, you can then stream to your computer, your iPhone, or your iPad. And the networks said, whoa, we don't like this. I'm pretty sure that's an exact quote. Whoa, we don't like this. And they ended up suing Arrow and have gotten them shut down, essentially.
They claimed it was a rebroadcast, which I'm dubious about.
Yeah, what the networks claimed was that this rebroadcasting, as they called it, was a copyright violation because they have affiliate stations that are paying big bucks to have exclusive rights to rebroadcast content. And they felt that Arrow was rebroadcasting content without paying licensing fees. And they were so adamant that this could not happen that they threatened to actually stop allowing over-the-air broadcasting of any of their content if Arrow won this case. Well, they lost. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And this morning, the Supreme Court said that they were siding with the networks. So that kind of kills a big part of Arrow's business right there.
Well, here was my confusion, is that not initially with Arrow, but over time, as people have finagled other ways to watch over-the-air television in some form or another, there was always a big no. And it was because they were worried about the skipping of commercials, and you need commercials because commercials are what funds the television programming. And the way I understood it was that all Arrow was doing was showing it to you. They weren't adding their own advertisement. They weren't taking any advertisement out. They were just giving you another way to access over-the-air programming.
The public airwaves, that's the key. The public airwaves. It seems to me like this decision starts to dictate what the public can do on the publicly funded airwaves and sort of turns control over the public airwaves over to the original company under the guise of the rebroadcasting, when it's not really. I mean, what if you had a TV antenna on top of your house and you built a Linux DVR homebrew, and then you recorded something for over the air and then played it back? Would that be a rebroadcast in your house?
Yeah, because see, it's for me. And that's the thing, is like, I wasn't under the impression that Arrow was doing this and taking that one stream and giving it to 15 people. Like, it was a one-to-one relationship, yes, what you were getting. There's an antenna somewhere, just not on my house. That antenna lets me see it on my phone.
Yeah, I liked Scalia's comment. He said, you know, we need a deeper technical understanding And we just can't dream up something like it looks like cable TV, so it must be cable TV. That was a pretty good
response. So he said they need a deeper technical understanding, and they still said, we don't –
Well, he was
one
of the dissenters, yeah.
Well, but they admit they're not entirely certain what this is, but you still need to stop.
Yeah, that about sums it up. I mean, it's not the first time the Supreme Court seems to have caved over to big business because of a lack of technical understanding of what innovation is doing.
Yeah, and I do want to – the thing about this that sort of – sits with me is because yesterday I started thinking about TV antennas and that sort of broadcasting, because one of the huge things about the new Apple TV channels is that I think it's ABC News doesn't require you to sign in with a cable provider.
Yes, it does.
One of them doesn't. I thought it was ABC News. Maybe it's the other ABC one.
I saw an article yesterday. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I saw an article yesterday that said the ABC News wasn't so great because you had to have a cable subscription and sign on with your cable credentials to see that.
And with most of the channels on Apple TV that correspond to cable, you do have to, or that correspond with a network. Right. You do have to sign in with some sort of cable provider information. However, I thought the thing yesterday was that one of them didn't care, and so that was like kind of a big deal. And the reason that was kind of a big deal is because why should I have to sign in with cable credentials if I can watch all of this over the air for nothing?
Well, PBS has been doing that with their channels that they're allowing on to Apple TV.
Okay.
So it's still not as simple, at least in their case, as I pick up my Apple remote and I start watching content. What you have to do is create a PBS account online.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives you a code that you mm-hmm. enter into your Apple TV. And then you can watch all the content. It's still an extra hoop we shouldn't have to go through. But at least it's not us having to pay for a full-on subscription.
Yeah, it's not tied. At least it's not tied to cable. And right. And for people who are cord cutters, they're actually able to view that content. Which
yes.
is good.
And I am a cord cutter. And so I've actually been considering getting Aereo simply because I could then see a lot of content that I otherwise wouldn't be watching, because mm-hmm. where I am, putting an antenna on my television is just not an option. I simply right. won't get a good enough signal to make it worthwhile. But I didn't do it because I was waiting to see how everything played out with Aereo in court, and in Colorado they had already been shut down. So now it looks like I just won't even be trying them at all.
This is a sad day. Sad day for Aereo, and it's a sad day for American consumers, TV watchers everywhere.
It is not a great day for America, kids.
No, it's not, but I can make it a little better.
Okay. Do your best.
I will do my best. The Supreme Court, they taketh away, apparently, but then they also giveth every now and then, too. And they have another ruling that they issued this morning, which is that it is a requirement for law enforcement to get a search warrant before looking through the contents of our smartphones.
Even if it's not password protected?
Even if it's not password protected.
Interesting.
It's akin to, from the way I'm reading this, if I leave the front door of my house unlocked, that is not implied permission for police to come in and search through my belongings.
Right.
And I don't have to put a passcode on my smartphone to have that same protection. It is now, according to the Supreme Court, a place that does require a warrant. And this makes me very happy.
Oh, joy. Yes. Yes, you've brightened up our day.
Significantly, yes.
I had a feeling that might help some.
We were so down, and now we're up.
Yeah, the idea that I could be pulled over for speeding
mm-hmm.
and then have a law enforcement officer demand my smartphone and then start going through the contents of that phone it's always something that's really bothered me, and something that I was certain, if it ever came up for me, would land me in jail because I would refuse to hand over my phone. And now I have the Supreme Court backing me up. My feeling is our privacy is something that we should hold sacred and very dear, because any that we give up, we will not get back again.
Ever.
Ever. That's right.
I remember reading about this a while back, and one of the arguments was that the scope and the breadth of the information that's in your phone merits stronger protection than, say, you know, the police being suspicious and wanting you to open your trunk to look for a, you know, a pack of weed or a dead body. Because the information on the phone is so great, it warrants this kind of protection.
Mm-hmm. And I think rightly so. Now, if the police stop you for speeding or a taillight out or whatever it is, and they think that you might have – well, in Colorado, it's different now. The bag of weed isn't a problem. That you have a duffel bag loaded with cocaine. They can't just tell you, open up your trunk. They have to ask you, can I look in your trunk?
Mm-hmm.
And if they and then if you say yes, of course, because so many criminals don't realize that that cops are smart enough that they can identify a duffel bag full of cocaine in a trunk,
or they forgot what was in the trunk,
right? Or they forgot what's in the trunk. Yeah. Once the police have permission, sure, then it's okay to go ahead and look in that trunk and find the cocaine, but they can't just open the trunk. And if you say no.
Mm-hmm.
Now the police have to find probable cause to get a search warrant to open your trunk. And in many cases, with drugs, that means they just call one of their police dog officers over, and they sniff around the car, they get a hit, and now they can get their search warrant. But thinking that our cell phones are suddenly less protected than the trunk of our car was something that really worried me.
Yeah, me too, because it's, like you said, that's not coming back. That's not a thing where all of a sudden, you know, we've handed this over, and now later it's going to come back and be like, oh, yeah, you know what, all that stuff about smartphones, we take it back. That's not going to happen. And you know how I know that? Because I still have to take off my shoes at the airport.
Yes, you do. And I was about to make a really bad trunk joke, but I just simply won't, because
those playing along at home are more than welcome to
fill in your own trunk joke here.
Yes.
I can't wait for the day when the police officer texts the judge and he gets a email back with a search warrant and taps the email and brings up the warrant document on the face of the iPhone and shows it to you and says, okay, here's the warrant.
I don't think those days are that far off.
No.
I mean, getting a search warrant, officers can get a search warrant over the phone.
Yeah.
So it's not like we don't have the technology to have that instant display of a search warrant happen. So I think what the scenario you just described, John, I think it's totally plausible and will come very soon. And in some situations, that will be a great thing, because it will create more safety for police officers, because they won't be stuck in positions where maybe they have to wait around in an unsafe area longer than they would want to. And if they have evidence that they need to collect, that they really do need a warrant for, but the evidence could be lost in some way, well, now they can get it that quicker. I'm also glad that my cell phone gets to remain the private, sacred place that it ought to be. I've been kind of on a little soapbox today, haven't I?
A little bit, yeah. How's the view up there?
I used to never put a password on my phone and my iPad, but lately we were doing some traveling and vacationing, and it just seemed to me like, you know, it's just a good idea to have a password on all these devices, even if it's a pain around the house a little bit. I've transitioned on that, and I have a password on all the iOS devices, and I just leave it on, and it only takes 1.5 seconds to interrupt 4-digit password.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad that you're doing that, John. That makes me happy to hear. I've been a firm believer that all of our devices should be password protected all the time, and it doesn't matter if they stay in my home or if they're things that travel with me. they need to be set up so that I can maintain my privacy, not only from the government, but also from people that I prefer not to be snooping around on my stuff. So yeah. Good for you.
Well, actually, I don't have to enter the 4-digit password anymore because with iOS 7.1, the fingerprint recognition is working beautifully.
So you have an iPhone 5S, just like
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's nicely working.
Yeah, I actually didn't set mine up initially because I was when I was restoring from backup, I walked through the setup on when I got my phone replaced. And I was like, well, I'm just going out for a couple of hours and I don't have anything on it yet. So it doesn't matter if I don't set the passcode, but I don't have time right now to sit and put my finger against the thing for a bunch of times. And it felt weird when I left the house and I hit the button and I waited and it would just work instead of trying to register my thumbprint. And it kind of freaked me out. It shouldn't be this easy to get into my phone. I can't let this happen. And so immediately, like as soon as I got home and was finishing my backup, I went through all of the Touch ID process on it again and felt a little better. But like I was a recent comer to the always passcode protected all the time. I did that about 2 years ago. And having something without it felt really, really weird.
I understand. I can't imagine not having a passcode on my iPhone, even for a moment.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
All right, so we're pretty much out of time, and I just want to drive home the point one last time. Hey, guys, put a passcode on your iPhone because you want to keep your private stuff private. And hooray for the Supreme Court for giving us a good ruling on the privacy of our smartphones, even mm-hmm. though they did let us down with the whole Aereo thing.
Completely.
Completely.
Completely. All right, John, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely.
And Kelly, thank you, too.
Of course, anytime.